The Produce Guys, Dan and Guido, up next.
Far out, man.
I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say
vegetables are very good for you.
Mom was right. Eating veggies keeps us healthy.
Apples, peaches, bananas, and pears.
Today's Produce Pear Radio Show is brought to you by the Pear Bureau Northwest, growers of delicious, nutritious Northwest pears. Look for the USA sticker on the fruit and you'll know that you have a genuine pear from the Northwest. And by FIT, Fruit and Vegetable Wash. FIT is the only produce wash certified and recommended by the American Vegetarian Association. Ask for it in the produce department of your local grocery store or at www.fitwash.com. Stick around, the Produce Pear, right after this.
I bring you apples, peaches, bananas, and pears.
Live from the San Francisco Bay, it's the Produce Pear, your food show on the enjoyment of fresh fruits and vegetables. What's in season? What's fresh at the store, at the farmer's market, in your backyard, and on your table? Speaking of fresh, here's your host, America's natural grocer, Dan the Produce Man, and Guido the Gardener.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to another happy Saturday with the Produce Pear. It's a fine, fine, lovely day in the San Francisco Bay. I'm Dan the Produce Man, along with
Guido the Gardener.
Yes, and before you go shopping and start sticking anything in your shopping cart, listen to us first, because we're going to give you some of the best tips that you could ever get on picking out fresh fruits and vegetables. We got a great show lined up for you today. A little later on, we're going to be speaking with Kelly Odell and Robert Schuler. No, not Robert Schuler from the Crystal Cathedral, but Robert Schuler from Melissa's World Variety Produce. They are going to be talking to us about some of the new specialty produce that you're going to be able to see on your store shelves very soon if you haven't seen it yet. And a bunch of other stuff here that we have on the table. Guido's brought a very seasonal fall display here and set it all up on the table. It must have taken you hours to put this here, Guido.
I was in a fall mood. Yes, I was. I've taken classes in displaying produce. Can't you tell?
You're the Martha Stewart of of radio.
I've got three squashes and I set them down here on the table.
Yeah, you've got a kabocha.
Yes.
Carnival or
this is a carnival squash. Okay. Yeah. Carnival squash and sweet dumplings kind of look alike, but this is a carnival squash.
Yes, and then you've got the I always forget the
also
name
known
of the squash.
Also known as delicata.
Right, delicata.
Yeah, but there's another one like this. What's that other one like this?
I don't know. People love that squash. A lot of people love that squash, I like a meatier squash. I know that's a nice sweet squash.
It's very sweet.
So, did you grow these squashes, Guido?
No. I actually purchased these from a local specialty type operation. It was great too because they're organically grown. They come out of California's Yolo County.
That's going to be a $5 squash right there.
Well, they were on special. They were only 69 cents a pound.
Hey, you can't beat that deal.
Yeah, and lots of nutrition in these squashes.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, why don't we just start with my favorite, kabocha squash.
Oh, okay, good. The kabocha squash, folks, is a round, kind of a drum-shaped squash. The outside skin is what do you call that, kind of a mottled green-gray?
Yeah, it's a kind military green.
Yeah. And one thing before I forget is you can eat the skin of this squash. Some you can, some you cannot. But the
looking for that extra fiber, folks.
There you go.
Hey, it's kabocha squash skin chips. Look for them in a store near you.
Hey, that would be something. When this squash cooks up, it's actually prettier than when it's raw.
Yeah, it's pretty meaty too. It's not real watery, you know. It's very dense.
Dense. That's exactly the word that I like to describe this. Is the kabocha squash originally was bred in Japan? I think I know the delicata was too. They do a lot of squash breeding over there. But the way you cook this is first you cut it in half. Now,
let's describe it real quick. We described the color, and you said drum shape, but let's also say that it kind of looks like a squatty green pumpkin.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all true. Right. Squatty green pumpkin.
I just had to get that out.
That's fine. That's fine. We look at Dan. We've got almost an hour. We can, you know, we got plenty of time. Although we're starting to count down on onto the next break. But yeah, the outside is kind of green. Now the inside is a deep, like a burnt orange color.
Yes.
It's a beautiful, beautiful color. It cooks up really well. It takes a little while to cook this. This here, the easiest way to do it is you cut it in half, scoop out the seeds, put both halves back together, wrap it in foil, and bake it. Bake it like a potato.
Put both halves back together and wrap it in foil. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I don't use any butter, brown sugar, none of that.
This has a flavor all of its own.
Oh, it's amazing.
That will just turn you on, man.
It's amazing. And actually, when we come back from this break, there's a couple tips on how to cut this, because it can be kind of unwieldy.
Yeah, it can be hard, and we want you to do it safely, folks. So we're going to give you those tips when you come back from this break. Well, when we come back from this break also, we'll just meet right after this break. How's that sound?
Stay here.
That's right. Also, if you want to read up a little bit more about winter squashes, both Guido and I have recipes and articles on our website, www.producepear.com, www.producepear.com. Don't go away. Guido the Gardener and Dan the Produce Man are coming back your way.
Hello, this is Graham Kerr with some fruit and vegetable news you can really enjoy. I have an idea for an unconventional spaghetti dinner. It's spaghetti squash. And when it's cooked, the inside of this squash takes on a thread-like texture like noodles. And it couldn't be easier to prepare if you pierce the outside of the squash several times and then bake for 1 hour. Then cut lengthwise, remove the seeds, lift out the pasta-like threads, add your favorite spaghetti sauce, a cup of sliced mushrooms perhaps, some grated Parmesan cheese, and heat it through. Delicious. For more tips and free recipes, call 1-800-4-CANCER or visit 5aday.gov. That's the number 5, then aday.gov. So go on, do yourself a favor. Enjoy your 5 or more servings of fruit and vegetables every day for better health. That's the good news from the National Cancer Institute.
Fresh, juicy pears. Now that's some fruit the produce pear can support in a big way.
Pears come in many shapes, sizes, and colors, but like they say, they all good.
By their nature, pears ripen from the inside out. Given that, the area around the stem of a pear will show its softness, its ripeness, first.
I got it. Check the neck for ripeness. What you want is a softer area around the neck and a firm area at the body of the pear. If the body itself is pretty soft, the whole pear will be likewise. But don't toss out that overripe pear. You've got a perfect smoothie in the making.
Besides just washing and chomping on them, pears can be enjoyed in many different ways. They marry well with cheese for a fruit and cheese party platter. Also, they can be substituted for an apple in any dish.
So, Dan, what's your favorite pear?
That's easy. The produce pear.
All right.
The Produce Pear website is where you can find lots of information on fresh fruits and vegetables. From recipes and articles by Dan the Produce Man and Guido the Gardener to fresh tips on selections at your favorite produce counter. Plus, links to several other sites on nutrition and cooking. Just log on to www.producepear.com. That's producepear.com. Do you have a question, recipe, or tip that you'd like to share? Just email Dan or Guido from www.producepear.com. That's producepear, P-A-I-R, .com.
Hi, I'm Eddie Albert, Green Acres. Each day, 3,000 acres of our nation's farmland are being paved over by parking lots, shopping malls, and office buildings. So what happens when our farmland disappears? Food costs go up, wildlife habitat is destroyed, and part of our American heritage fades away. You want to help? Call American Farmland Trust, 1-800-431-1499. 1-800-431-1499.
You get a selection of fruit, you take it home, you arrange it in a bowl, pile it up high, and then you watch it all rot.
Vegetables are very good for you.
Eat your fish, eat your okra too. Clean your plate, it's easy, it's just a piece of cake.
Okay, there you go. That's it right there. It's all the information you need.
Piece of cake, carrot cake.
There you go, cool. There you you're always thinking. Throw some prunes in there as well. Hey, we're the Produce Pair. I'm Dan the Produce Man.
I'm Guido the Gardener.
And before the break, we were talking to you about kabocha squash, and Guido said he was going to give you some cutting tips. We shared some during the break. We both have some good ones, so Guido, go for it.
Well, the easiest way to do it is to put this squash just like it is. And you want to wash the outsides of it before you cook it, because you can't eat the skin. So you wash, so you scrub it, wash it, dry it, and then put it in the microwave for just
whole
for a minute or two. And what happens is it softens this just enough to get a knife into it and cut it around. Now, there's a couple ways you can do it. If you're going to stuff it, you are probably better off cutting it up a little bit higher, more like a pumpkin, and cutting the top out of it and then stuffing it with goodies. Or you cut it lower down the side of the squash and more like in half.
Yes, because it has its own natural sweet kind, a little hint of ginger flavor
it's
to the kabocha
squash.
And another way to cut it, too, is to whack the stem off, either by grabbing the squash and hitting the stem on the edge of your kitchen counter, and the stem will just pop right off, or whacking the stem with a hammer, and it'll come off. And then you take your strongest blade knife, not some flimsy tin thing, but your strongest blade knife or a meat cleaver and a mallet hammer. And you put that thing on a cutting board, and you hold the knife or the cleaver down, and you hit the mallet on the blade part, and that'll also cut a good carve into it. You hit it hard enough, it'll whack the whole thing in half. But I like Guido's idea of softening it a little bit in the microwave, because that just takes a lot of the ease out of cutting a squash in half.
Yeah, because the skin of this is quite thick. If you pick this up, especially this, this thing's
it's a heavy squash. That's
why
I told you.
5 pounds, this thing.
Right. So anyway, that's the kabocha squash. And we also have the carnival squash and delicata squash. You cut them the similar ways. You can do similar things to them that you do with a kabocha, but they're not as big. These are like 2-serving squashes.
Right. You can do the same thing. You can cut these in half, take out the seeds with a spoon, stiff spoon, and wrap it in foil and bake it. Or the small ones actually lend themselves to microwave cooking pretty easily. Folks that are in a hurry and want a nutritious little side dish, it works really well in the microwave. You just, there's two ways of going. You can either just stab the thing with a sharp knife to let the steam out, or you can cut it in half, take out the seeds, and then either put it in like a glass, say, a microwave safe glass dish, or you can actually put it in I've put it in a plastic bag before, but I don't really like putting plastic in microwave, but they steam up in a microwave really well.
Well, that's the thing. They steam.
Yeah.
And if you're going to bake them in the oven and you want the baked flavor, do not put them in a pan with water.
Water. You're right.
I don't know why these recipes call for it. That is steaming squash. That is not baking it. However, if you want it steamed, well, then go right ahead.
If you're going to put water into like a Pyrex dish and put it in the oven, you might as well just put it on the stovetop.
Right, in a steamer.
In a steamer.
Exactly.
If you're going to do that, because you're going to get that same flavor. If you want that rich, deep, baked flavor, you gotta bake it in its own juices, so to speak.
All right, and with the delicata squash, it's nice, it's long. It's a long, cylindrical-style squash. And if you want, it's soft enough to cut. I mean, it's hard, but you can cut it in rings if you want. And if you want to be real adventurous, brush it with some olive oil, a little bit of cumin, and throw it on the grill. And grill that squash as well. It tastes absolutely delicious that way.
The thing is, you just want to avoid the maple syrup, the butter, the brown sugar, because these squashes have lots of flavor, just stand alone. Now, if you want, you cook them plain. And then if you want, at the end, before you serve the dish, if you want to add something to it. But I ruined some squashes one time by putting, like, I don't know, I had cream and and powdered ginger.
Oh, you're reading those old pilgrim stories, Guido.
Yeah. And I'm not kidding. I cooked these squashes, and they were almost inedible.
Yeah, I don't put cream in squash.
Oh, God.
I do use my maple syrup here and there on certain squash dishes that I'm making. If I'm candying them like you would do candied yams, I would do that. But I do that on the stovetop in a pan, and I peel the squash, and then I cut it in slices, and that's what I do. Then I'll add a little bit of honey and some... I like to use a smart balance and some maple syrup and just slowly cook them, and it candies them just like candied yams. So you can do that if that's what you're looking for. Hey, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. You know, that is the voice of the son of one of Historia's in New York, best grocers. That man's name is Anthony Benedetto, also known as Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett, yeah.
And
was his papa green grocer?
Yeah, and so was he for a while. He's also one heck of an artist, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Shows some incredible pictures. My father used to hang out with this guy in New York. They used to meet at this place called Phil's Deli after all the bands would end, and they'd shoot the breeze, and then he'd sing with the old man's band for a while, and then he went up the road to another club, and Bob Hope was there, and he needed a singer, and
that was that.
Anthony Benedetto filled in, and Bob Hope said, "Ha, I don't like your name. It's going to be Tony Bennett," and because he was also doing it under some other name. He was calling himself Joe something. But anyway, great voice, very appropriate song.
I was enthralled.
Yeah. Oh, I love his music. Just a fantastic singer. But anyway, Tangerine. Even though this isn't a tangerine, so many people call all mandarins and tangerines and tangelos tangerines. We can't really go through that right now. We'll do it in December, okay?
When they're all around,
we'll do it. They kind of cross in December like a depot. All varieties are there. Some are ending, some are starting, and they're all just there. But you can peel that. It's a Satsuma, man.
Well, I was just gonna look at the color.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and cut it.
And you know the other thing? I don't know. Maybe I'm funny, but I get that citrus on my
yeah, it can burn you.
Fingers.
The citrus
and it gets,
oil. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, cut it.
I think I'm just going to cut it. Although this one here, you can peel. You know, Dan, I got a confession to make. I saw these in the store yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I smell the the citrus. It's fairly acidic. And I'm not kidding. The very first ones of these, sometimes I'm wary of them. I'll try this now, but...
No, these are good.
Are they good?
Yeah. See, first of all, Satsuma is a mandarin. Which is an easy-to-peel citrus fruit. Also, fairly, you know, pretty much seedless. I mean, you're going to find a seed or two here and there. But zipper skin is what they're called. They have a little knob at the stem end. You just grab that and rip it off, and you can peel the thing down. And it separates from the skin very, very easily. Lots of vitamin C in this. Mm. It's the time of the year. These start coming in. You get the fall glow out of Florida. I don't know if we're going to get them or not. We probably will. But you get these Satsumas out of California, and the citrus season has started.
That's pretty good, Dan.
Oh, yeah. It's really good. This is an organic Satsuma grown somewhere. I can't remember
who
the name
grew
of the
farm.
I can't remember. Yeah. I was strolling through the farmer's market. I needed a Satsuma. I saw them in the grocery store. I said, no, I'll get them at the farmer's market. No one had them except for one stand, and I can't remember who it is.
No, but it's pretty tender. It's not very acidic.
No.
It's not as rich as it's going to be, but it's pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah. Get them now and just eat them throughout the season. They're absolutely delicious. It's one of those popular varieties of mandarin. But we'll get into, you know, what is a tangerine versus a mandarin. Actually, I wrote an article for the magazine. It won't come out till December because that's the right time of the year to really get into the explanation. If you're really wondering and you got to know, then go ahead and email us from our website. We'll tell you all about it.
Do I have an old one?
Do you have an old one?
An old article up there. on mandarins?
Yeah, you do. So just go to the profiles and pointers page. Hit Guido the Gardener, and you
will... Well, not physically. I bleed easily.
Right. Yeah, we don't want to do that. Sometimes I feel like reaching over the table and doing that, but then he looks at me and blinks, and I just get a soft spot. Hey, also, coming up, we're going to speak with Robert Schuller and Kelly O'Dell from Melissa's World Variety Produce. They have all kinds of great stuff. Guido and I spent last weekend at the PMA, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that when we come back from this break here on the Produce Pair Radio Show.
Her heart belongs to Tangerine. I love my dates. I love my fruits and vegetables. High fiber, really great. Fiber is in the right direction.
Yeah.
It helps you get along.
It sure does.
Fiber, it helps you with digestion. Fiber's just a little song.
Oh, it's more than just a little song, too. All right, welcome back to the Produce Pair, folks. I'm Dan, the Produce Man, along with...
I'm still Guido the Gardener.
And Ken, I don't see the bottom clock counting down at all.
Oh, there...
Maybe it's not ready. All right, so we're
gonna... In my hand.
Yes.
I have. I swear I thought this was another tangerine because I didn't see the calyx, the leaves on the other end.
Yeah, because of the shape of this thing.
Yeah.
All right, now wait a minute. Before you cut
before
that
Before I cut it. Are you going to explain...
Robert Schuller is going to join us pretty soon from Melissa's World Variety Produce, and he's going to tell us about a cinnamon persimmon.
Okay.
This is called a chocolate persimmon, and Guido, cut it open,
okay,
and you'll see, there you go, safety first, Guido.
He
was cutting towards himself, holding it up,
I know,
but geez. You'll see why this is called a chocolate persimmon.
Now, does this have a seed?
Yes,
it
does.
Okay.
This is a rare breed of a persimmon.
Some persimmons do have seeds. This can cut right through.
He's got a little miniature saw. All right, just break the thing in half.
No, I got it.
All right, that's why it's called a chocolate persimmon. It's ugly inside. That's why. It looks like it's rotten, but it's not. It's brown on the inside. Has a great flavor, kind of like a fuyu. Folks say it's sweeter.
Fuyu's the flat one, folks.
That's right. This is when you eat firm, and you can get it in specialty stores and little organic shops. Guido, why don't you go ahead and try that persimmon and tell the folks all about it. What do you think? How do you like it, Guido? Does it taste like a chocolate bar?
It's a bit astringent.
Okay.
It
well,
is.
We better let it ripen it up a little bit more. I've had this thing in my house for about 2 weeks, and it just hasn't softened up much. But it's not as astringent as a hachia persimmon.
No, but it's not as creamy. It's not as creamy as a fuyu.
See, I brought it here and had Guido try it before I did.
You son of a gun! All right, okay. Folks, I will get even.
Yeah, no, I know he will.
Now, I'm from the taste of this, because it is a little bit chalky. It's not really bad like a hachia, but it is a taste chalky.
Okay, let's
That cinnamon persimmon that Robert turned us on to was much better.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's go to the PMA where we interviewed this week and talk with Kelly O'Dell from Melissa's World Variety Produce. And here we are. We're back again at the 55th Annual Produce Marketing Association Fresh Summit. We're at the Melissa's World Variety Produce. Can't really call this a booth, can we?
It's like a city.
It's Produce Lane, that's for sure. And Kelly O'Dell is with us, and she is in charge of all of the nutritional marketing, right, Kelly?
Well, yes, most of it. I had the 5-a-day team at Melissa's.
Very good.
We have a team of 5 people, and so... we try to educate all ages, but we try to focus on children going into classrooms and in-house education to our employees.
All right, so what would you say to the children out there listening today?
I would tell the children that it's important to try new fruits and vegetables, and it's just very important to get your hands on different things, because if you don't like an apple or an orange, try something new, because there's so many different flavors in produce that you can find, you know, anything from sweet to tart to very mild. So it's just important to try new things in the produce spectrum.
That's right. Get your parents to maybe buy that for you when you're in the store. Get me that new celery straw. We just saw the new celery straws up there. Or
They're not drinking margaritas. They're, what is it at? Or Bloody Marys. But they could, you know what? They could drink their V8 juice through a celery straw.
That's right. However, Melissa's here. If maybe children are allergic to milk, dairy products, I just tried an excellent grilled cheese with some of the soy cheese they have over there. Absolutely delicious. And some of the other soy products, so you've offered a great alternative.
We have a whole soy line of natural products, so cheeses to tofu to sauces and anything that goes with produce, pretty much Melissa's can offer.
Fantastic.
Now, kids can tend to be a little bit picky. I know I've got an almost 15-year-old at home, and you know, she actually has a fairly decent field to take. They can be a little bit picky, but if... You know, if you're looking at Melissa's, you have how many different items that that their families could shop for?
Melissa's has over 1,000, probably over about 1,300 items for children to try.
Okay.
So, and the whole family.
Then there's no excuse
to
try something new.
Kelly, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Okay, and we're going to do a little bit more with Melissa's World Variety Produce. In the next segment, we're going to speak again, as I've been telling you, with Robert Schuler. He is the expert on just specialty produce. It's an amazing thing because he had us try an item that you just may want to get a hold of and give to your children. And he'll explain all that in the next segment when we come back from this break. In the meantime, log on to www.producepair.com and check out our website. You can read articles by Guido and I, see what we're up to lately. I'm going to be posting pictures from our trip to the PMA, which is the Produce Marketing Association, where there was about 16,000 produce professionals at the Anaheim Convention Center this past week. Having a great time looking at all the new items that are out there, new packaging, making deals, talking to people. Anyone who's anybody in the produce business was there, and it was a lot of fun.
Including the produce pair.
That's right. Darn right. They wouldn't have held it if we weren't going to come. No, anyway, we'll be back with Robert Schuler right after this break. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Eddie Albert, Green Acres. Each day, 3,000 acres of our nation's farmland are being paved over by parking lots, shopping malls, and office buildings. So what happens when our farmland disappears? Food costs go up, wildlife habitat is destroyed, and part of our American heritage fades away. You want to help? Call American Farmland Trust, 1-800-431-1499. 1-800-431-1499.
Fresh, juicy pears. Now that's some fruit the produce pear can support in a big way.
Pears come in many shapes, sizes, and colors, but like they say, they all good.
By their nature, pears ripen from the inside out. Given that, the area around the stem of a pear will show its softness, its ripeness, first.
I got it. Check the neck for ripeness. What you want is a softer area around the neck and a firm area at the body of the pear. If the body itself is pretty soft, the whole pear will be likewise. But don't toss out that overripe pear. You've got a perfect smoothie in the making.
Besides just washing and chomping on them, pears can be enjoyed in many different ways. They marry well with cheese for a fruit and cheese party platter. Also, they can be substituted for an apple in any dish.
So, Dan, what's your favorite pear?
That's easy. The produce pear.
All right.
The Produce Pair website is where you can find lots of information on fresh fruits and vegetables. From recipes and articles by Dan the Produce Man and Guido the Gardener to fresh tips on selections at your favorite produce counter. Plus, links to several other sites on nutrition and cooking. Just log on to www.producepair.com. That's producepair.com. Do you have a question, recipe, or tip that you'd like to share? Just email Dan or Guido from www.producepair.com. That's producepair, P-A-I-R.com.
What more appropriate sponsor for the Produce Pear Show than fresh pears from the Northwest? Do you enjoy a soft, buttery texture to your fruit? Try the gourmet pear, the Comice. Or for those who want to include more organics in the fresh fruit mix, the Pear Bureau Northwest offers a varied lineup of pears. Now, with any pear you choose, here's a tip for picking the ripe one. Hold it in your hand and give it a gentle squeeze around the stem area with your thumb. If it has a bit of a give, it's ready. And one thing to keep in mind is that a pear is easily substituted in place of an apple in any salad, side dish, or dessert you're preparing. Currently, the marketplace is full of these nutritious, delicious fruits from Oregon and Washington. Just look for the USA Pear sticker on the fruit, Pears from the Northwest, and visit them at their website, www.usapears.com.
To the produce pair.
Guido the gardener, Dan the produce man. Can you believe it?
All right, folks, welcome back to the Produce Pair. As we promised you, we're going to go to our interview with Robert Schuller from Melissa's World Variety Produce, live from the Produce Marketing Association during the week. Guido and I had a great time there. And without further ado, here we go. Robert Schuller with Melissa's World Variety Produce. Robert, what's new at Melissa's?
Actually, some of the new products that we have are very exotic. And one of the things that I like to talk about is the tropical dragon fruit. The tropical dragon fruit probably is the prettiest fruit you've ever seen. It is a fruit in the cactus pear family, but tastes nothing like a cactus pear.
Looks like a cross between an artichoke and a pomegranate and an onion.
Yes.
You know what? It's got a purple skin kind of like an onion. Now, where's this grown?
This is actually, Melissa's have been trying to bring this legally into the country, but USDA and FDA has not allowed entry.
So this is illegally here today?
No. Actually, we have similar growing conditions in San Diego, Southern California, which was ideal to grow this fruit and make it available to the United States. And this year, we introduced the tropical dragon fruit. It's the dragon fruit variety, but it has a pink or a purple flesh on the interior. So about three seasons ago, you saw a dragon fruit with a white flesh. Now, the difference between the dragon fruit and the tropical dragon fruit, not only the color, but the taste on these tropical dragon fruit are just delicious. There's so many different flavors going on at the same time. It has flavors of pineapple and kiwi, just a uniqueness, and not only beautiful, but very artistic as well. And you'll see this pop up on menus across the country because the restaurants, the chefs, are loving this new fruit to the United States.
Not only fantastic, for the outside, but for the inside.
Exactly.
Is this a speckled persimmon? I was just going to ask you about it. It looks like somebody put pepper in there.
This is actually the third season, but you're going to see this more available on a national basis, not just here in California where it's grown. It is called a cinnamon persimmon.
Ooh.
It's a newer variety, and why it's called a cinnamon persimmon is because when you cut it open, it has little brown speckles on the inside.
I thought it was just because it's been sitting here for 3 days.
No, but okay.
It's obviously more attractive than when you cut open a chocolate persimmon.
There you go.
Definitely. And what the little brown spots are sugar spots. And the sugar spots on a persimmon, which is a very squashy type fruit,
custardy type fruit. This one here probably tastes more like the Fuyu variety that's firmer, kind of, well, spicy in flavor, as opposed to the Hachia, which is the jelly one.
Yes, definitely. But one thing that the sugar spots and the sweetness, what it does is it makes it more of a neutral flavor because traditional Hachia and Fuyu variety persimmons seem to be much tangier, but this variety in particular is very sweet to the palate.
Fantastic.
We're going to eat that before we leave here, right?
I don't want you cutting things up there, Guido. He brought his knife.
Just in case.
This is actually a newer variety. Really, we only see this in California. We might see it a little bit more occur throughout the country. Baby kiwi. It's baby kiwi season. They only will be available until about November. And most of them are grown in California, but they also grow them in Oregon and Washington. And it's a small berry, about the size of a raspberry. It's a smooth skin. It doesn't have the fuzz.
So you don't have to peel it like a kiwi.
You don't have to peel it like a kiwi. You just pop it in your mouth, and it resembles something like a kiwi, and they're delicious, and the chefs are loving them. And you'll find them in some of the retailers' stores here in Southern California and also in Northern California as well.
Folks don't realize there are just many varieties of kiwi fruit besides the ones that we see on the stores.
Oh, definitely. There's also the golden variety, which is an orange flesh variety. And then soon going to be brought out of New Zealand, the strawberry kiwi.
Oh, boy.
Flesh
really?
Kiwi. We're looking at doing that either in 2005 or 2006. So.
And the produce pair will be the first to know, correct?
They definitely will. They'll get the first samples legally brought into the country.
There we go. Very good. Robert, any other items here that you'd like to talk about today?
Oh, we have some other exciting items. Unfortunately, they're very, very hard to find, but why don't we introduce it to the United States and have them look forward to it in the future. One such fruit is called, it looks like a little berry. It looks like a cranberry, right? But it is called...
looks like a little prickly pear. That's what it looks like.
A little prickly pear. It's about the size of about your pinky fingernail. It's very small. The fruit itself is called a miracle berry. But I see, Dan, you just put one in your mouth.
And I shouldn't do it, right?
Are we not supposed to eat these?
No. You can eat them.
But I'm going to. Approved or
something. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to Dan for the next hour or two.
Uh-oh.
These are legal in California. They started growing them in California. But, Dan, don't worry.
I'm seeing two of you.
Actually, what happens to this fruit, what it does is it neutralizes your palate. So in other words, if you, after eating this, when you bite into a lemon or a lime, it neutralizes the flavor. That lemon or lime that you bite into will now taste like an orange.
Wow, what if I ate an onion?
I haven't tried it with the onion, but what it does is it stimulates your mouth. In other words, what it does is it takes out tanginess or bitterness.
I see, okay.
So,
all right, so
maybe
someone...
the onion will taste like a cherry. I don't know, but...
That'll
you know
be a first.
One thing
though.
That it does is that it's actually a fruit that is grown in many third world countries, in countries where they may grow a lot of lemons and limes and grapefruit and
good.
Some of the
thanks,
very tangy fruits. And so people eat the miracle berry and then try us, what you're just about to do, trying
is this a sweet lime?
Actually, this is a rare lemon called a pink lemon. Not the
I
lemon
love
they
it.
Pink lemonade. But as you can tell, that very tangy lemon maybe might be not as tangy as before.
No, it's real sweet.
All right.
Real sweet.
Kelly, why does this citrus taste so sweet?
It's from the miracle berry that you just ate. It was the chemicals from the berry.
Wow. So if we tried this other than before eating the miracle berry, it would be sour?
It would be much sour.
No kidding. Because my tongue is sweating. The flavor, the texture of that is altogether different.
I'm tasting extreme sugar. Now we've got to take these miracle berries and really push them so that parents will give them to their kids. Their kids will eat them. Then whatever produce that they want their children to eat to stay healthy will taste sweet.
It might encourage them to eat more greens, fruits, and vegetables.
I was just going to say, yeah, the green beans.
But I'm not sure I haven't tried that.
Fantastic. Robert Schuler with Melissa's World Variety Produce. Thank you so much for joining us again today on The Produce Pair.
Thank you, Dan and Guido.
Pumpkin soup, mashed potatoes, that is my Hallentown. Pumpkin soup, mashed potatoes, that's what I'm always
doing. All right, you know.
What's this guy singing about?
Pumpkin soup and mashed potatoes.
I didn't.
You know, you have to have had some sort of psychedelics involved in your life several years ago.
If I did, I don't remember.
There you go. Yeah. That's the best answer.
There
you
go.
Hey, welcome back to The Produce Pair. We hope you enjoyed that interview with Robert Schuler and the other one with Kelly O'Dell from Melissa's World Variety Produce. They have got just, you should have seen, it wasn't a booth. It was an entire aisle that they had set up.
Yeah.
And not only did they have every weird produce item from all points of the earth, like the dragon fruit that they were talking about.
And the miracle berries.
The miracle berries, which
those were,
I think are going to be a great hit.
Those were amazing.
I really think the promotion behind that should be children. Because you give a kid that, they eat that. Their broccoli, their Brussels sprouts, their spinach is going to taste like candy.
It's
an amazing piece of fruit. All that was fun, but their whole aisle was, not only that, they had Los Angeles Lakers cheerleaders there. Martin Yan was there.
Who wanted a date from us, I know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They wanted us.
The samples of the dates that we had in the plastic bag.
Was that it?
You know, don't get,
I got confused.
Wrong kind of date, pal.
Yeah. Martin Yan was there,
and they also had someone else. They had
well, they
there
had
at the booth
seven.
Too.
They had seven different eating stations.
Right, with the chefs from all the ballparks.
Right,
that's what they had. All the ballpark head chefs. So, and they were just
cooking there.
Oh yeah, that was amazing.
Lots of folks, lots of produce. It was pretty exciting. I could have hung out there longer, but We didn't, you know, we only had a limited amount of time.
That's right. But we have a lot of material that we're going to be playing for you over the course of the next, couple of months, actually, of these interviews from the Produce Marketing Association
and
convention.
We finally met Chef Tony Marola.
That was the other one, yeah. Chef Tony Marola was there as well, and he's going to be joining us coming up. We're going to do another Chef Tony Marola kind of Thanksgiving, pre-Thanksgiving special, where he, because, you know, every year he's got this new way to cook a bird.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And stuffs it with all kinds of produce and different things. So
yeah,
we'll have him coming along.
That was a highlight, just meeting up with him.
That's right. All right, so here in the San Francisco Bay Area, it's, you know, the weather is just gone, hasn't gone south, because south is probably really good. It's gone north, and it's just rainy and mildly chilly, and it's the kind of day where you want to eat soup or bake something in the oven. And we opened up with the winter squashes earlier. Of course, Brussels sprouts, I guess you could bake them after you cook them. You could make something to bake them with. But
I like those steamed better.
Well, these are from Acopi Farms. And Brussels sprouts,
nice.
You want to get them small and as compact as possible. In other words, when you squeeze it, you want it to be very firm. You don't want a puffy Brussels sprout, because it's going to taste bitter, and it's also you don't get much meat out of it. But what you want to do is you just cut a little crisscross on the stem end of these things. Steam them for about, after the water gets rolling, steam them for about, I don't know, I usually do it for about 15 minutes. Then I remove them, and I slice them in half. And then comes the olive oil and the garlic, and I saute them around. And, you know, they're going to be with us for quite a while, so, and lots of nutrition in Brussels sprouts as well, including folic acid, which is great for a lot of things, especially if you are carrying a child within your womb, male or female, in this day and age.
Dan, excuse me, but where else would you carry a child?
In your
except
arms?
Except on your hip or something,
okay,
yeah.
You're right. Gotcha.
Let's go on to something else. Oh, last thing with Brussels sprouts.
Yes.
Is they are very, very tasty with a light dusting of grated Parmesan cheese.
Or even lime juice and stuff.
Lime juice?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lime juice.
Hey, let's get to this black twig apple, because
all right.
A lot of the black Arkansas apples from California fell. They fell off the trees, and most of the crop isn't around. So, anyway, we got the black twig also.
No, everything's fine. It's just somebody.
Oh, okay. All right.
Somebody was playing with our lights in the studio.
I thought maybe it was closing time.
Yeah. Halloween's coming early.
Oh, okay. I see the bottom clock is finally going. Okay.
Okay.
Good. But the black twig apple.
The black twig apple!
Is your next best bet to the Arkansas black. Now, you're not going to find these in your mainstream store. You're going to find these at farmers markets. You're going to find them at specialty stores. You're going to find them at little produce stands. This is a extremely crisp, firm, dense apple with a mildly tart flavor and just a burst of sweetness. Get the black twigs while you can. This is grown by Stan DeVoto, DeVoto Farms in Sebastopol, California.
Who was our guest just a little while ago.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And was going to come back on to talk about the Arkansas black.
Until
but they all fell on the ground. And so he decided to go to Italy for 2 weeks for the Slow Food Conference. So that's where he is. So he's not here. Okay? So there we go.
And next year he can bring us.
That's right. Okay, a lot of information this week on phytochemicals, again, in the news. One of the things, if you have little children, you want to eat your colors, your blue produce, your red produce, your green produce, your white produce, your yellow produce, all have different nutrients to them. They're using Sesame Street characters to target toddlers. So turn your kids on to Sesame Street, and they can have their 5 a day of the colorway. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. Until then, I'm Dan the Produce Man, saying eat well, eat it right, eat it fresh, because you are what you eat.
And I'm Guido the Gardener, and I will tell you what my Nonna Bessie always told me. Mangia!
Ah, Excuse me, is this where I get a license to start a new business?
I wouldn't be hasty. You have to get a license to go out of business, too, you know.
Oh, well, look, I've invented this little anti-gravity machine, see?
Oh, is that why you're walking 2 inches above the floor?
Oh, yes, it's very comfortable. It saves on shoe leather.
Yeah, well, you have to fill out these forms and report to the Human Services Department of Manpower Orientation and register with the Fair Employment Practice Commission, the Wage and Hour Division of the Employment Standards Administration, the State Sales and Income Tax Division, the Internal Revenue Service, and the Social Security Administration of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, and, of course, OSHA.
OSHA? I thought that was a little town in Wisconsin.
You'll find out. Say, floating around like that could be dangerous. Have you checked with the Consumer Product Safety Commission?
Well, not yet.
Come to think of it, you actually are flying, aren't you? Look, you need to go over to the Federal Aviation Administration and the Transportation...
It's very hard to get anything done these days if you're in business, but Free Enterprise built this country. Think what could happen if we don't keep it free. A public service of this station and the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise, Bellevue, Washington.
We just can't have people floating about unregulated, you know.